welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins, and I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Today, before I start my message, let me share with you the commission that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They have sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. This is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ. Today I'll be speaking to you about light. These messages are for those who have a heart after God and desire a more consistent relationship with God. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Jesus the mediator. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Jesus has to be God fully to represent God as a mediator for his side. So therefore, Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. John said in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." We believe that God has three personalities: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Paul also spoke about Jesus and said this in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." The Trinity was a mystery that was previously hidden to the Jews. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, and he dwelt among us. John said in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 2, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Many religions are similar to Christianity, but they do not believe necessarily that Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. And these religions are not from God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 14 and 15, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Verse 15, "Therefore it is of no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." You cannot blame the devil for being deceived in a big organization and being used by Satan to deceive others. You will be popular if you choose to preach righteousness without repentance from dead works. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God." Only those who listen to the Holy Spirit, that is divine nature in us, can come to repentance. Those who try to change themselves will fail. John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Since God is light, then, we can conclude that Jesus is also light manifest in the flesh. Jesus in his humanity fully yielded to the Father. So he also let the Father bring light through him in love. Everywhere Jesus went, things manifested that were part of the kingdom of darkness. He got reactions from the religious leaders who were servants of the devil. You will also get similar reactions from religious leaders if you're on the narrow way. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 42 to 47. I'm reading. This is John, chapter 8, verse 42. And Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." Verse 43. "Why do ye not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word?" Verse 44. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it." Verse 45. "And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." Verse 46. "Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" Verse 47. "And he that is of God hears God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God." The Jews were ignorantly serving the devil, but stubbornly resisting the truth, because Jesus' teachings exposed their bad fruit. They did not love the truth, because Jesus is the truth, and they were trying to kill him instead. We read in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10, "I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings." John experienced Jesus personally and saw firsthand how Jesus reacted to the pressures of life, how he answered the Jews and the religious leaders. He always did the right thing and did not compromise on truth. There was no darkness in this world that could hold Jesus. We read in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Even the demons had to flee. Death itself could not hold him." John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 1 to 3, I'm reading, this is the epistle of John, that's 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." Verse 2. "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." Verse 3. "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Many came to Jesus. Crowds came for the miracles. But John got to know Jesus by following him and being submitted to him. John had to endure sound teaching and be corrected with the other disciples. But he obtained eternal life by following Christ. We read in John chapter 17, verses 1 to 3. "And these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee." Verse 2. "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is to know Jesus and the Father personally, not just the knowledge about God. When Noah Webster in 1828 defined light, he recorded 26 aspects to the meaning of this word. This included the ethereal agent or matter which makes objects perceptible to the sense of seeing, but the particles of which are separately invisible. In his definition of light, he included the flood of luminous rays, which flows from the sun and constitutes the day, the dawn, life, the illuminated part of a picture, anything that gives light, as a lamp, a candle, a taper, lighted tower, star, for example. Also, instruction, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. He refers to Daniel. In Daniel chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Daniel was different because he listened to the Holy Spirit, and he was a doer of the word too. James said in James chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23, for if you be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. The light that God gives goes deeper than the skin. Just looking in the natural mirror, you only see what is on the surface. But the purpose of God's light is that you examine yourself and come to repentance. Otherwise, you just end up with outward righteousness. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 7, do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ's, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, so even we are Christ's. Paul was not serving the comforts of the world, and a change within, and had to point out the bad fruit in the lives of those carnal Christians in Corinth. They thought they belonged to Christ, but Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If you are following Christ, you deny yourself daily in the morning. We read in Luke 9 and 23, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If you're abiding in Christ, you keep changing. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Webster also said, light is a means of knowing, discovering, giving notice, an explanation. When one part of Scripture shows light on another, a window, a place that admits light to enter, or a pane of glass. In Scripture he said, God is light, the source of knowledge, Christ the true light, that lighteth up every man that comes into the world. Joy, comfort, felicity for righteousness, saving knowledge, prosperity, happiness. Regarding physical light, Webster said, it is now generally believed that light is a fluid or real matter existing independent of other substances with properties peculiar to itself. Its velocity is astonishing as it passes through a space of nearly 12 millions of miles in a minute. Light, when decomposed, is found to consist of rays differently colored as red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. The sun is the principal source of light in the solar system, but light is also emitted from bodies ignited or in combustion, and is reflected from enlightened bodies as the moon. Light is also emitted from certain putrefying substances. It is usually united with heat, but it exists also independently of it. Light cannot be defined without God, since God is light. White light can be formed from three different colors of light: red, green, and blue. We read in John 14 in verse 6, "And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." The Father is living in the light, and if you want to come to him, you have to live in the light now. Jesus is the light, and you can only live in Christ by, number one, following Jesus consistently, and you do this by denying yourself daily and taking up your cross. Number two, obeying the truth, and through regular repentance, you are set free from many lies and darkness. Number three, being connected to God by grace through faith, so that you can do his perfect will and get more light. The psalmist said in Psalm 43 and verse 3, "O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles." God sent that light to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 12 and verse 46, "I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness." The purpose of that light was to set you free from darkness. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 8 to 14, I'm reading. This is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. "For ye were in darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Verse 10, "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Verse 12, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Verse 13, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever you do, make manifest is light." Verse 14, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleeps, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Grace also came with truth to give you time to repent and learn yourself. We read in John chapter 1 and verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Without grace and truth, we cannot come into his presence, abide in the light." There is an initial period when you enter the light, even when there is still sin in your life. However, according to Ephesians chapter 5, children of the light are, number one, producing the fruit of the Spirit easily. Number two, pleasing God with works that are acceptable to him by the Spirit because they listen to his voice. Number three, not compromising on truth to fellowship with others who are living in darkness. Number four, not dead spiritually but awake to God's priorities. And number five, getting more light by following Christ daily. When you live in Christ, you will lose some old friends and gain some new ones because you're on the narrow way. We read in John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36, "Then Jesus said unto them, Ye a little while, is the light with you? Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not where he is going." Verse 36, "While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of light. These things spoke Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them." When I started on the narrow way, I saw other young people following the comforts of the flesh in their own wisdom. Later, they ran out of time and God did not use them because they did not grow spiritually. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them." When you listen to your own mind, you're actually listening to the God of this world, who says, do things for yourself, or look after number one. But God loves you, and he can direct you and keep you. Everyone was given a certain amount of time to believe and trust in him, and to accept him as Lord, and learn to hear his voice. We read in John chapter 10, verses 24 to 27. "And then came the Jews around him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Verse 25. "And Jesus answered them, said, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Verse 26. "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and know them, and they follow me." The Jews were God's chosen nation, but they were blind, and they did not hear his voice or recognize Jesus by the works of the Father either. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 1, on page 20, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "Satan comes as an angel of light to deceive us," 2 Corinthians 11 and 14. "He tempts us to use our natural minds to understand the gospel. If he can persuade us to use natural learning methods, it is easy for him to take us captive with ways that seem right. These methods only work in the old nature. Proverbs 14:12 says, There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You keep the devil out by choosing God's system of learning and by making him Lord. Peter speaks about his marvelous light in 1 Peter chapter 2, and reading from verses 1 all the way to verse 10. This is 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings," verse 2, "as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Verse 3, "If so, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Verse 4, "To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." Verse 5, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Verse 6, "Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, Behold, I say in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." Verse 7, "Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." Verse 8, "And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Verse 9, "But ye all are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Verse 10, "Which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." The world has rejected the lordship of Jesus Christ so that they can do what they want. You might still believe on yourself or your own ability if you did not do your first works properly. Do not deceive yourself. You still have a stubborn belief in yourself because you also want to do what you want, just like everyone else. The offer here is to come to Him. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 5 in the Amplified, we read, "Come like the living stones and be yourselves built into a spiritual house for a holy, dedicated, consecrated priesthood to offer up those spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ." You are called to be a living stone and to take your place in Christ and not do anything without the Holy Spirit. This is what makes you spiritual. Then you are not doing dead religious works anymore, but making spiritual sacrifices that are pleasing to God instead. The word stone in Strong's is number 3036. It's a primary word meaning stone literally or figuratively, but a mill or stumbling stone. Your new life may seem strange to others because your life is now based on what God is directing and nothing else. Others just do what they want. They will not understand. The word lively in Strong's is number 2198, and it's a primary verb, means to live or to be lively or to be quickened. You have to start as a millstone for Jesus, and you are a statue without God anyway. But now He is the one quickening what you do and do not do through hearing His voice. 1 Peter 2 and verse 6 in the Amplified Bible says, "For thus it stands in the scripture, behold, I'm laying in Zion a chosen, honored, precious, chief cornerstone, and he who believes in him, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on him shall never be disappointed or put to shame." Whatever is built on the cornerstone is precious because Jesus is Lord, and what is coming from him through you is precious. You become a jewel if you let His life flow through you by obeying the Holy Spirit. The word believe in the Amplified Bible means to adhere to, trust in, and rely on Him and not cling to any worldly comforts instead. The word marvelous in Strong's is number 2298, and it's taken from another word, means to wonder. But by implication, it just means wonderful or marvelous. Maybe you do not believe God's light is wonderful because you are still lukewarm. You do not believe God really loves you. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." If you come to God, you have to believe He is love too, because God is love. The rewards will come later through seeking His commands. John said in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him." If you doubt God's love, then you're not really opening your heart to Him. Only those who believe God is love can receive His love, because in the kingdom everything is received by faith. Love is not just a feeling or an emotion. You can experience love initially at salvation through the forgiveness of sins, and even sit on the Father's lap. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Verse 13, who had delivered us from the power of darkness, had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. His death for me on the cross moved my emotions, but I did not do my first works properly. At the point of my salvation, I was reaping the consequences of my sin and disobedience. He gave me a fresh start. I got the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. Our inheritance, however, is based on living in the light, according to Paul, not just visiting the light. After my initial experience at salvation, I was told that I am now in Christ, but I did not submit to Christ, and I did not make him Lord. I deceived myself that I was abiding, but old things were not passing away. Also, I did not get on the narrow way. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way." Verse 14, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it." The flesh will always react to God's ways. On the narrow way, you have to trust God, not just for one event, but for every step. It is uncomfortable for the flesh on the narrow way, and the flesh will die. But in his kingdom, there is peace and joy to compensate. Paul said in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." The kingdom of God is the only safe place that is devil-proof. Believing he loves you requires a step of faith. If you listen to your own feelings and emotions, you will not believe. If Jesus is your first love, you do not let anything get between you and him. Do not deceive yourself. Nothing of eternal value takes place when you are separated from him through sin. I always heard Joseph say in his messages, "I'm one of the fastest repenters in the business." Joseph was able to get back in the presence of God immediately and learn from his mistakes, experience his love, joy, and peace. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." If you still cannot come back into the presence of God immediately, you have some unbelief that will hinder you from entering. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 19, "So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief." The root of all unbelief is a lie that you believe to be the truth. The devil cannot deceive you, but Satan gets the victory because you still love this world and the comforts of the flesh more than God. We read in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." You must now confess your spiritual adultery if you love yourself. You have to believe there is no condemnation in Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 7, on pages 123 to 124, Joseph Hedgecock writes, "As complex as the kingdom of God is, you can come as a child and access technology the natural mind cannot begin to comprehend. Think about electricity and turning on a light in a dark room. You do not have to know how electricity works. You have faith that when you turn on the switch, the light will come on. It's the same with God's technology. You do not have to know how it works to come to him as a child and have access to his technology. You can crawl up in his lap and enjoy fellowship with him. You can feel his love for you. You can hear him speak to your heart. you can access the greatest power in the universe simply by being still and knowing that He is God. Confessing your sin and getting in His presence is like turning the light on spiritually. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." All the benefits are for those who have Jesus as their first love. You will not understand the kingdom of God separated from Him. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Love is the source of that power. Love is the greatest force on the face of the earth. This is exciting, but we have to live in the light by faith. Now, faith is not based on what you see with your own eyes. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in chapter 1 on page 16, Joseph Hitchcock writes, "Truth is revealed and confirmed by the Spirit of God. Everything you believe should be confirmed by the Spirit before you release your faith into it. Remember, what you think you know hinders you from knowing what God wants you to know. Faith is based on hearing from God by grace through faith." Peter says in 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." If you trust Him and listen to His voice for direction, you get the precious promises instead, so that you can escape corruption that is in the world and become a servant of God. You will not be disappointed or put to shame. Paul used the grace of God and light to remove the corruption in him through repentance, and did not compromise on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 10 and 11, I'm reading. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon." Verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Man has rejected the lordship of Jesus, but the lordship of Christ is what makes everything work. His lordship through the Spirit has now become the key to salvation, sanctification, and a way of life. The psalmist says in Psalm 118, verses 22 and 23. This is Psalm 118 and verse 22. "The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner." Verse 23. "And this is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes." The cornerstone is marvelous if you've accepted Christ as Lord. God is holy. Maybe you're doubting and cannot get back in His presence. You may need to review your first works. You were saved by grace through faith. Review the following points. Number one, the Spirit in you means you are called to be holy. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Holiness is not negative. Revelation is light that reveals an area of darkness that you are walking in, using your own understanding. He knows in what ways you are still being controlled by the devil through the flesh. Number two, conviction is a blessing. Conviction is also the hope of glory and a sign that you have been chosen. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The Spirit will not bear witness to bad fruit so you can recognize it and repent. God will also help you to get to the root of sin. If God has chosen you for repentance, God thinks that you can be changed and nothing is too hard for him. Number 3, he also resists the flesh in us because he loves us. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. He is not corrupt and blinded by false humility and acts of self-sacrifice. Number 4, you feel insecure in this world. This is great because you need to get on the narrow way and your security needs to be in him. Make no excuses. Number 5, if you have the lust of the flesh and cannot easily do what you want, that is also a blessing. Joseph Hedgecock saw this happening in his life, also because he had godly parents. God is making it harder for you to enjoy and serve the lust of the flesh, because that is going the wrong way. He is resisting you because he loves you, and you are special to him. Number 6. His calling on your life is based on your inability, not on your ability to do the right thing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 28, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised have God chosen ye, and things which are not to bring to naught, things that are. God accepts you as you are, so that you are not serving a spirit of fear based on perfect performance. He is investing in you because of your inability to do anything. There is nothing good in you anyway. If you thought that you are still good, he would have to resist you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Number 7, you are blessed that you have a big crash almost immediately when you sin. This is God calling you to repentance. The devil wants you to be comfortable in this world with all the issues you are facing. If you do not keep your focus, you are falling very quickly in a ditch. This is God designed so that you repent and cling to him. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 1 on page 27, Joseph Hedgecock writes about the hotel principle. He says, to explain trusting the Lord with all your heart, I use the illustration of a large hotel having 1,000 rooms, and every room is some part of your nature. Maybe in 50 of these rooms you trust God, but you have 950 rooms you do not trust him with. We tend to open the doors one at a time. In one decision, I chose to give God the master key, which opened all 1,000 rooms. And he can open any door he wants, any time he wants. Satan tried to deceive me. He said God would open all the doors at once, and it would be overwhelming. He said everything I did wrong would be brought to light at the same time. God does not do that. He starts with one room and has fellowship with you there. Then he deals with another room that hinders you from going to the next level until that room is cleared out. Isaiah 28 and 10 says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For more information on trusting God, read chapter 11 of Sound Doctrine by Joseph Hedgecock. Whole areas of your life need to be re-examined now that you are born again. Areas that are still closed off in your heart are limitations that you have set to protect yourself from sorrow, pain, and suffering that you may have experienced before. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Verse 8, "For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Any pain and suffering that came from a life of sin, you do not need to fear anymore now that you are serving God. You have to be faithful in the truth he reveals and not to your own heart, emotions, and feelings. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 44, "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." The rock falling on you is God letting you reap all at once what you have been sowing for many years. Every day, people reap a small amount of what they sow in the flesh, and even this makes life on earth miserable. When you reap instantly everything you are sowing, you will be crushed, but not utterly destroyed, because of God's love. This gives you a chance to repent. This is better than continuing in the flesh. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." If you have not made Jesus Lord of your life, please do it now. The best option is to fall on the rock and be broken. Admit that you keep using your own mind to make decisions, and he will give you a fresh start. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In the Amplified Bible, poor in spirit means humble, or those who rate themselves insignificant. Being humble means you have made Jesus Lord of your life and not do anything in the flesh. John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, "He that continues in sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Jesus cannot destroy the works of the devil in you if you don't let him do it. This is why he needs to have the master key to your heart. Those living in the light get the privilege to take from the tree of life daily, as it will be in the eternal kingdom. Are you ready to live with God? Are you ready for eternity? Do not go back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Light is more than knowledge and revelation. It is freedom from sin. Light is a combination of following him, obeying the truth, and letting the life of God manifest through you by making Jesus Lord. We read in John 8 and verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The song "He Lives" by Alan Jackson says this: "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near." The chorus says, He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. On the narrow way, I get information on a need-to-know basis. The psalmist says in Psalm 36 and verse 9, "For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light." The light you gain will help you to see clearly in other areas. So you have to be faithful in the little things. Jesus said in Luke 16 and verse 10, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much." If you are unjust, you are also unrighteous. The psalmist said in Psalm 97 and verse 11, "Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart." The word righteous here in Psalm 97 verse 11 in the Amplified Bible means uncompromisingly righteous. Righteousness is consistently doing the right things because he is Lord, not because you are following another set of rules. John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 6 and 7, I'm reading, this is 1 John chapter 3 and verse 6. "Whosoever abideth in him sins not. Whosoever sins hath not seen him, neither knows him." Verse 7. "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." You cannot get to know God if you keep sinning. You have to stay connected to him. God's righteousness includes not going back to the flesh and not seeking to do your own will. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will in thought, purpose, or action. The word upright in the Psalms in Strong's is number 3477. It's from another word which means straight, literally or figuratively. It means just, right, or straight, or upright. Upright means the right way up. Your heart is the wrong way up if it's selfish. What are you seeking? Are you seeking blessings or prosperity? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34, says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Verse 34, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." He is now your heavenly Father, and he will let you know what you need to know now about tomorrow. Your heart needs to be towards God, and then he's gentle and gives you the light to overcome. The psalmist says in Psalm 112 and verse 4, "Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness, and he is gracious and full of compassion and righteous." This light always overcomes the darkness. James says in James chapter 1 verses 12 and 13, I'm reading, this is James chapter 1, verse 12. "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Verse 13. "Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man." Your love for Jesus is the power to say no to sin. When you live in Christ, God is above corruption and he's never wrong. His motive is always love. You have to believe he loves you in whatever way he's dealing with you right now. He called you and he can see clearly. You sin by first listening to a wrong voice instead, and that is why you need correcting. Paul says in Hebrews chapter 12, I'm reading verses 11 to 15. This is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Verse 13. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. God's chastening is part of living in the light. Diligently, you should use the grace to seek God so that you're always obedient to the Spirit. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, he said, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You cannot change yourself with your mind or even try and come to truth based on prophecies and other words of revelation. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm reading from verses 9 to 13. He says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. Verse 10, but then that which is perfect is come, then that which is part shall be done away. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child and I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Verse 12, for now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. If you stop trying to understand the things of God with your own mind, then only faith, hope, and love remain. Faith is based on hearing from God. Your hope is based on repentance from sin and reaping eternal life instead. Love is the greatest. He will always do things with your best in mind. You can also speak the same language and dialogue with him and get to know him through love. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, revised edition, on page 169, Joseph Hedgecott writes, if your motive isn't love, your works are worth nothing, and you are nothing. God's standard never changes. So stop right now and make the necessary adjustments in your heart motive. The only motive God accepts for seeking him is pure love and the desire to know him without any personal or selfish agendas. Through his love, your heart can be pure. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We show our love for God by seeking his commandments. And Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, this is verses 13 to 15, I'm reading. This is John chapter 14 and verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. When you follow Christ, you will get love commands. And under those conditions, you can ask anything because Jesus is your first love. Every command at the start might be different because everyone is special. But whatever he gives you as a command is what you need to work on first. The book Light by Joseph Hedgecock is a book that sheds God's light and revelation on 23 key areas, including faith, authority, judgment, the fivefold ministry, the anointing, the three infallible witnesses that confirm you are hearing God. The book Light was written for the children of God who are lights in a world of darkness and a desire to shine even brighter. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 to 16, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Verse 15, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house." Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The ability to give light to others is based on being righteous. We read in Isaiah 42 and verse 6, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles." He promised that he would hold your hand. So this is not self-righteousness. We read in Matthew chapter 21, verses 42 to 43. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21 and verse 42. "And Jesus said unto them, Did ye ever read in the scriptures that the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes." Verse 43, "Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." You can lose the kingdom if you do not produce the fruits of living in his kingdom. Our role is to bring light, not darkness, to others. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, in verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." You cannot bring light to others without some fruits of repentance. Paul was telling the church to live the holy life and resist sin. He said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29, I'm reading. This is Colossians chapter 1, I'm starting in verse 26. "Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." Verse 27, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Verse 28, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Verse 29, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." God can make a way where there is no way for those who want to follow Christ and stay on the narrow path. He works on your behalf when you obey. Christianity is not just another religion. It is a relationship with the living God. Isaiah 55, 10. I'm reading from 10 to 13. This is the book of Isaiah 55. I'm starting in verse 10. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not again, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Verse 11, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing with wherefore I sent it." Verse 12, For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Verse 13. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that shall not be cut off. You cannot live the blessed life without hearing from God. You have to believe He is speaking all the time, because He is. He is speaking, and if you are in His presence, you get exactly what you need to know now. This is based on His love, character, and faithfulness. You just have to believe. Faith is expecting God to speak. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, and verse 21, "And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left." He may be telling you something you do not want to hear right now. But if you have good ground and a soft heart, you will hear. Jesus said in Luke 8 and verse 8, "And other fell on good ground and sprung up, and bare fruit an hundredfold." And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." You have to be still to get to hear and know God. Thinking is dangerous, so you have to take thoughts captive and believe and listen. We read in Psalm 46 and verse 10, "Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." To walk in the light, you have to take it slowly at the start, but you will get there faster because you will spend less time getting angry. James said in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Verse 20, "For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God." If you're going to walk in the light, then you have to hear from God. Getting frustrated and angry will not help. You may not be able to hear what He wants you to do right now, but ask Him to tell you something He does not want you to do. You may not be able to make a decision at the same speed you made decisions with your mind when you're in the flesh, but you can limit down the possibilities of what God allows you to do first. Take time to hear. This is part of paying the price to have a pleasing relationship with God. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." Verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Trust Him with all your heart, like a little child. Unbelief will hinder your faith from hearing, because you still have more faith in your own mind than you do in the Lord to direct you." Paul said to Timothy, who was faithful, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." You will not have any fear when you walk in the light. John said in 1 John 4 and 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love." Joseph Hedgecock would often say to me that if God delivers you into a situation, then He is faithful to deliver you out. David said in Psalms chapter 23, I'm reading from verses 3 to 5. He says, "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. And Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Remember his ways are paths of righteousness. So even when God says no, there's always a reason. David also said in Psalm 27 and verse 1, a psalm of David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and of whom shall I be afraid? Following him may create some challenges along the way. Then you do not compromise or fear. He also provides a way of escape. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, there has no temptation taken you but which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Overcoming temptation is part of his marvelous light, because he can see the end from the beginning. You also get to see how he solves the problem through what he directs rather than you using your mind. Seeing this happen in front of you is all part of God's spiritual education. You came into this light by grace through faith. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, I'm reading verses 8 to 10, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The purpose of God's love is for you to repent of your own lordship. If you are still able to boast, you have not repented. You were nearly destroyed by sowing to the flesh, and you are supposed to live in the light now and do the things that he has prepared in advance for you instead. Jesus said in Luke 9, 24 to 26, I'm reading, this is Luke chapter 9, verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? Verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. You won't finish your race by accumulating money. Also, you cannot trust in the resources you have accumulated yourself. You need to seek God for the lowest conditions to be saved. You have to give up something to finish your race and be ready for his appearing. Following Christ is a change of lifestyle that does not include serving worldly comforts. The great American evangelist Charles Finney led many to Christ, and in one of his after-inquiry meetings he said, the point was frequently urged upon everyone to give their full consent to Jesus. They were told that the only difficulty was to get their own honest and earnest consent to the terms upon which Christ would save them. They were also told to seek the lowest terms upon which they could possibly be saved. Pains were taken to shut the sinner up and accept Christ, his whole will, atonement, official work and official relations. Everyone had to renounce all sin, all excuse-making, and all unbelief, and all hardness of heart, and every wicked thing in heart and life, here, now, and forever. We were all utterly filthy at the time of our conversion. Do you realize that you are barely saved by grace through faith and deserved hell? Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Those who go back to the flesh, doing good works instead, did not do their first works properly, and will not come into the light and be corrected. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. This is Matthew 11, starting in verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Comfortable Christians often see sin as just having a bit of fun in life, and that God is the problem. Many believe a lie that if you serve God, you will never have fun again the rest of your life. If you believe that lie, you are still living in darkness. God is never the problem. We read in Psalms 18 and verse 28, For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. God offers light so you can rescue yourself with truth. Anytime you come to the conclusion that God is the problem, that is the wrong conclusion. Not even the devil is a problem. Man is the problem because he is ignorant in the flesh, selfish and invites sin, and is easily tempted because he wants to do something for himself rather than put God first. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 21, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will find themselves left behind because they did not make him Lord. They just accepted Jesus as their Savior. They did not seek the minimum conditions to be saved. They were told all they need to do is to say a prayer of confession and repeat some words. But this is not the truth. When Jesus came the first time, this is what we read in John's Gospel. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, I'm reading to verse 11. This is John's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Verse 7. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Verse 8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 9. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Jews did not accept Christ as their Lord. Those who do accept Jesus follow him. You are born in sin, and your soul is like a battery inside that is running out of power because it's not connected to him. Your soul is also being destroyed by consulting your mind. Your soul was designed to hear from God. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55 and verse 3, Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. By listening and obeying, his life can again come into us and through us. Paul said in Acts, chapter 16 and verse 31, And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. In the Amplified Bible, the same scripture says, Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, give yourself up to him, take yourself out of your own keeping, and entrust yourself into his own keeping, and you'll be saved. Will you be ready when Jesus comes and be part of the first resurrection? You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can believe on the Savior Jesus Christ and still be left behind. When you believe and accept him as Lord of your life, there are three things you will do. Number one, give yourself up to him and establish him as Lord. Number two, not look out for your own well-being and comfort in this temporal world. Number three, listen to his every instruction through the Holy Spirit so that he can fully take care of you and keep you. Jesus is the one who made you. He gave you some light that was given to all mankind and sent you here. He then came himself to save you from hell. Jesus is the living word, and he brought grace and truth. Moses brought the law, and we see in the law a masterpiece of knowledge and wisdom that man could not keep. The Jews ended up making substitutes using their own mind. Mysteries in the law far beyond man's intellect could not be understood with the natural mind, and excuses were made for being righteous. The law's purpose was clear. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 and verses 22 to 26. This is Galatians chapter 3, and I'm reading from verse 22. But the scripture had concluded all are under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up until the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Verse 25. But after that, faith is come. We no longer are under a schoolmaster. Verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Our justification is based on faith. He is transmitting his perfect will for every child of his, and we can claim to be children of God because we are doing the will of the Father. If God is who he says he is, then he will not try us beyond what we're able to endure. Those who make excuses are not looking for the reasons why they cannot do what he says. Those who believe and cling to him and do not give up will be saved. You know that whatever God requires, he will finish. A faith that gives up easily is not pure. Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 11, verses 9 and 10. I'm reading. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. Verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 10, for every one that asketh receives, and he that seeketh finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. You are hot when Jesus is directing your life as Lord. When you are doing what you want, you are cold. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14 to 16, I'm reading. This is Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Verse 15, and I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would that thou would be cold or hot. Verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. However, the same church got this offer by grace. And Jesus continued in verse 20 and 21. I'm reading. This is Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. Verse 21. To him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. It's not automatic that every child of God will sit on his throne. This promise in Revelation is for those who overcome using the precious promises of God, not making any excuses. The only way you will overcome is to make Jesus Lord of your life. He has every right to be Lord. He created you. He sent you here. He died for you. You belong to him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, "What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own?" The church of Laodicea in the book of the Revelation was lukewarm. They had to confess their true state, recognize their faults, and as part of their repentance, get their faith purified. This meant that the church was going to be uncomfortable, but through knocking and seeking truth, Jesus promised intimacy and fellowship despite their double-mindedness. James said in James chapter 4, verse 8, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Jesus did not come to judge the world. However, we read there is a judgment that is based on not coming into the light. We read in John chapter 3, verses 17 to 21, I'm reading. So this is John's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 17. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Verse 18. "He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Verse 19. "And this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Verse 21. "But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God." If you are living in the light now, you are open for correction and change. Remember, there is no condemnation in the light. Jesus said in John 5 and 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life." The Father sent Jesus, and if you have already made Jesus Lord and trust the Father for what you need daily, you are not going to come into judgment. Jesus is our example because he also listened to the voice of God and trusted the Father. Jesus said in John 5:30, "I can of my own self do nothing, and as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." I only have to please God and do his perfect will. Paul said in Romans chapter 11 and verse 22, "Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise also shall be cut off." The goodness is in the fact that you get grace now, so you can repent now and stop sinning. If you're not repenting, you're not continuing in that goodness. Living in the light means accepting his lordship, and you work on the things he's showing you. He covers the rest. Set up a notebook for those times when the Holy Spirit is convicting you, working out your own salvation by living in the light. We read in Job chapter 24 and verse 13, "There are those that rebel against the light, and they know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof." If you want to get to know God, then you have to stay with the paths He chooses for you. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. You cannot be Lord of the process or even decide what you will hear and where. You may end up like Peter otherwise when it comes to food. We read in Acts chapter 10 and verse 14, "But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean.'" If you mix law and grace, the Holy Spirit will resist, and this shows you are not following Christ and that your faith is not pure. You have to decide to let go of the law and reject man-made rules. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 to 23, I'm reading, this is Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances?" Verse 21, "Touch not, taste not, handle not." Verse 22, "which are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men." Verse 23, "which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will, worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." There are two rules in the kingdom of God. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, do it. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you not to do, don't do it. You need to be dead in Christ and let the Holy Spirit bring thoughts to your mind. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10, "But God hath revealed to them unto us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Comfortable Christians are happy to keep learning with their minds instead and live in darkness. But Jesus continued and told his disciples in John 16 and verses 8 to 10, I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 8. "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Verse 9, "of sin because they believe not on me." Verse 10, "of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more." The Spirit must replace the knowledge of what is right and wrong in your life. The Spirit is at work to reprove everyone and to rebuke when time is running out as well. The word reprove in Strong's is number 1651. It doesn't have a root, but it means to confute, admonish, convict, convince, tell a fault, rebuke, or reprove. According to Jesus, the Holy Spirit will reprove of two things. Of sin. The Jews had thousands of laws, and even a lawyer came to Jesus to tempt him with a question and asked him, which is the greatest one? They were trying to trap Jesus in his words. But sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will in thought, purpose, or action. Those who believe in Jesus and cling to him will stop sinning because he is the way, the truth, and the life, and they are following him. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. So he will now tell you when you stop trusting God with all your heart. Of righteousness, because Jesus was a teacher and a preacher of righteousness. Since Jesus came, no one should have any doubt of what is acceptable and not acceptable to God. And he taught for 3 years. He did not write a book himself. His kingdom is here now, and there are rules to follow, but they are not written down anywhere. You would think that this modern world would understand that God is very advanced. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tablets of stone, but in fleshly tablets of the heart." Jesus is now the one writing individual thoughts on our hearts by the Spirit of God. We all have an obligation to truth, written on our hearts. Mankind does not have any technology that can write things in a man's heart. The Spirit is here now, so we should submit completely. John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 6 to 10, I'm reading, this is the Epistle of John chapter 1 and verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. He is bringing truth every day by the Spirit, so you will always find more sin. Trust is designed to expose the lies that you accepted and still believe. This may even be based on many sins you have never, ever actually processed properly. Even when you sin, God is faithful if you confess your sins. It's now possible for us to even live in the light and through this get to know him by grace through faith. We read in the book of Isaiah chapter 60, verses 19 to 20. Verse 19, the sun shall no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Verse 20, thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall the moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. We know that in the eternal kingdom there will be no need of light because everyone who will be there listens to God. There is also what John saw. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, and reading from verses 1 to 7. And he showed me a pure river of water, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Verse 2. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded a fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Verse 4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Verse 5, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. Verse 6, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. You need to hurry up and learn to hear and obey his voice before it's too late. Knowing Jesus is part of your inheritance. You cannot rule and reign with him if you are still living in darkness using your mind. God will take care of his own. The blemishes will be removed if he's Lord of your life. Meanwhile, his glory can still shine through you by faith. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, but we with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and make the decision to start on the narrow path with daily and regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not let the devil turn you away from a love of the truth. If you know you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Guilted Prison, the revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been speaking to you about the love of God and what he has done for you just so you can live in the light now. What we have now is a foretaste, a feast of what is about to come. We cannot think or imagine what living in the light is going to be like when we see him. But right now, you can enjoy what I'm talking about by living in his presence, hearing his voice daily. You don't have to think. You can listen and he can show you great things. But he can't do that if you don't humble yourself and walk in that humility and let him be Lord. This whole world is not willing to let go and let God. They resist that lordship issue. There's a spirit in this world that says, I've got to keep under control. I've got to, things have got to be in my control. That's a spirit of the world. And you must reject that and come into the light and believe that your Heavenly Father loves you. Let me pray with you right now. Father, I'm praying for everyone who's listening to this message that you have spoken to them clearly about what it means to live in the light, to get on that narrow way, to live in that truth, and to receive that life that comes by abiding in your holy presence. Father, I'm praying for those who will embrace that now, that you will multiply and you will give them what they need on a daily basis so they can be more light to others in the days ahead. Father, I pray you multiply your grace in these last days according to your word, that you want to shine that light even brighter in the days when it becomes darker and darker and darker. I'm praying and asking God, according to thy will, in Jesus' name. Amen. Been a wonderful privilege to share this amazing message with you. I pray that it's touched your hearts. If you want to stay in touch with the ministry, there is some contact details. And afterwards, you can have a summary of all the verses that you've heard today. God bless you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.